I can then listen and see where I went wrong. Okay. Before I start, I just want to thank whoever picked the songs this morning. Was that you?
Yeah.
Thank you. There was one in particular, which is, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on God. We will go from strength to strength till we see your face." It's almost like you looked at this sermon notes and...
I didn't look at the sermon notes, but I did look at the psalm.
Exactly as I thought. Marvellous. See, it's all joined up, but it's not necessarily joined up by me, but it's all joined up by God. So whatever we do up here, God has got his hand upon it. And we're always thankful that we have a worship team. And thank you again this morning for what you did this morning, Beth, and the musicians. It was wonderful. I was moved to tears at one point, but there we go. Just a softie, really. Psalm 84. I'm not going to read it out. I'm going to read it out in chunks so that you have to follow and you have to keep an eye on it. See, last week, Anne and I went and visited a church in Grantchester. How many people have watched Grantchester? Yeah, pity you can't see hands up on a recording, but there's quite a few of us have actually watched the TV programme. Now, there were several things that actually struck me when we were there. The first thing that struck me, that it was actually open. The church was actually open. Now, you might think, well, that's not unusual. Actually, it is. Most churches are closed during the week unless there's a service going on. And they're basically just standing there almost as a silent monument to our living God. Instead of dwelling places where we come to worship God. And as we were coming out, I noticed that there was one of these cenotaph-type monuments in the actual grounds of the church. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Because on the cenotaph, I noticed there was a name that I recognised. And it was the name of Rupert Brooke, who was a war poet. Not the same Rupert Brooke, because I checked. Rupert Brooke, the war poet, was not even buried in England. He was actually buried in Greece, I believe. And he came from Rugby. So why? There must have been another Rupert Brooke. But it was just a monument to the dead instead of being something that was open. The second thing that struck me was the sheer beauty of what we found when we went in there. The stained glass windows. They were the original stained glass windows that must have been put in many, many hundreds of years ago. When you look at these sorts of churches and you look at some of the modern churches, not our community hall, obviously, there's a vast difference in the beauty and the understanding of what beauty is. And I don't see it in these new big churches. And the third thing that we found there was peace. And there was only Anne and I in there, which was great. I mean, we had it to ourselves. But you could hear a pin drop. It was that quiet. You see, what we're talking about today is the dwelling place of God, or the house of God. And how blessed we would actually be just to be there. We actually were blessed to actually go and find this church. We nearly drove past it. In fact, I think we did drive past it and then came back trying to find a parking space. Anybody who's seen Grantchester will know that you've got the church and then you've got the vicarage. And on the TV programme, the vicarage has always got this lovely wisteria growing outside it. That's not reality. Because wisteria only grows in a short time window, and there was no wisteria on the outside of this vicarage. But what we're going to just sort of start to gather our thoughts now and start to see what this particular psalm can actually teach us. So I'm going to read the first four verses. And I'm reading again from my trusty New King James Version. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. When you hear those words, there is a certain, I don't know, exuberance within those words. But the psalmist is talking about a building. I don't get exuberant about this place. I really don't. Actually, I'm not sure that my heart or my soul longs for the church in Grantchester either. But do you know what? We weren't in a particular hurry to leave it. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of peace. It was a place where we know that God would have been. But you see, it's not about building. It's about who we perceive lives there or inhabits there. And it is a perception. Why do we have this perception? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were going through the promise to the promised land, and then when they established a place in Jerusalem, they had the Ark of the Covenant where they believed God lived. So they actually put the Ark in the temple. That's why we understand it this way. Verse 2 again. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You see, that's what we long for. We long to be in God's presence. You see, but you might turn around and say, well, Ron, God's everywhere. I know. I'm not daft. Well, I am, but stop it. But you see, we also know that God indwells within us, within our hearts. But what you've got to realise when you're reading things like this is that this was written so long ago, they may not have actually understood that. And also, the other thing to think about with this is it was probably sung rather than just read. And I was looking at one of the psalm that I actually read a few moments ago, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, was Psalm 37. I'm just going to go back and rustle the paper for the purposes of the tape so it sounds like I'm actually knowing what I'm doing. La 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 la. Here we go. Yeah. No. Psalm 36, where I read out, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Yeah. And again, a psalm that we have taken as a song. And again, this probably would have been a song that would have been, or a psalm that would have been sung. Let me read verse 3. Even a sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Some of you have been to my house. Nobody sits in my chair. My chair, apart from the fact that it faces the TV, is actually by the window. And I can see when I'm sitting in my chair the birds that are actually nesting in the bush outside the front of my house. Now, every day I watch the sparrows sitting there, flitting around. There's never just one. There's always a several. I don't know if they're actually waiting for me to go out the back and put some more food in the bird feeder. But they are always there. They have found a home there. So when I read things about the sparrow has found a home, I can relate to that. I understand what that actually is telling me. But it goes on, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those birds that dwell in my bush. Doesn't quite ring it, but blessed are those who dwell in your house. Now think about that at the moment. Think about where we are. Okay. No one lives here. Or do you, Mike?
No.
But you see, back in the day, people did have staff that actually dwelled in the temple. I mean, you look at the New Testament, you look at Anna, who was always in the temple before the baby Jesus came in. She was there waiting for that. They had people that had staff there. And they were there and they praised God. And they praised God continually. Maybe, Mike, maybe that's something you need to sort of think about. Yes, relocation. I mean, it's got a kitchen, it's got a bathroom. You'll be fine, mate. He's not impressed at all.
He took Nicky about it.
He's not here. So there we have it, the house of God, and it's there. Whether it's tangible, whether it's intangible, it's there. We're going to move on then. And we're going to read verses 5 to 9. Blessed is a man whose strength is in you, meaning the Lord, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold my shield and look upon the face of your anointed. The next heading in my sermon is called The Pilgrimage. Now, have you ever thought about your journey to church this morning? Now, for some of us, I mean, for Anne and I, it's a 20-minute car journey, more or less, depending on how heavy my right foot is. For some of you, it might be a shorter time. But you see, most of us actually arrive in our cars. Now, what I want you to think about now is how you would do that on foot each week. Would you even attempt it? And there's no asking me for a lift, Naomi, because I've got enough to carry. So I actually checked on Google Maps and it would take me 2+ hours to walk here. Okay? Which means to actually get here, I would need to set off probably about 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. However, I do have quite a bit of kit to bring. So I've got obviously the laptop in a rucksack, then there's always bags of food for our food afterwards, etc. So I'll probably add another couple of hours onto that, because the terrain is up and down, and maybe it would take me nearer 4 hours than two to get here. And then, of course, that's at my pace. And, of course, my wife's a little bit slower than me. So maybe we are... I'm not saying how many hours, because that's just rude. but the thing is, it then becomes an actual pilgrimage. Yeah? It then actually becomes something that you physically have to do to meet at the house of God. And this is what our ancestors would have done. They would have walked to church. In fact, in many places, in many countries within Africa, they still prepared to walk a long, long, long way just to hear the word of God. Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Do you know what? You're considered blessed if you're deciding to actually make the effort to come to church on a Sunday. Because your heart is set on the pilgrimage, the journey. It's not round the corner. I don't think anybody in here lives round the corner apart from Alan, actually, just thinking about it. But the rest of us, it's a bit of a pilgrimage. And there's nothing else I'd rather do, to be honest. I was chatting with Luke last week, and you know what? We both agreed that it isn't Sunday unless we go to church. It isn't. It doesn't feel like Sunday. I mean, Anne and I have said this before. You know, if we haven't done a church service, it just doesn't feel right. I hope you feel like that too. I hope you look at it and you sort of think, actually, what do I do? It's a Sunday. I mean, I speak to people all the time and they say to me, oh, the weekend, you know, it's just blurs and they've got no structure. Well, we have, because this is the first day of the week. This is God's day. This is a Sunday. Verse 6, or just go back to verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Passing through the valley of Baca is part of the route for this particular pilgrimage to get to the house of God within this psalm. Now, a lot of scholars have actually interpreted this in different ways. You see, some people think that it is just a dry valley where nothing grows. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you do feel that this is a dry valley in this season of your life. But other people have actually interpreted the word Baca to be tears. But either way, I just sort of get the understanding, the impression, if you like, that we have to overcome some form of hardship to reach the house of God. Now, thinking about walking here, maybe you would think that yes, I've got to overcome some hardship. Oh, my feet hurt. Now, these shoes rub. I've never worn new shoes to do the trip. And we would hope that it isn't that painful to come in and make the journey in to church. But as we read this, the Valley of Baca, the Vale of Tears, if you like, could be interpreted as something that we're actually going through with tears at this moment. Which is why I think tears is a better way of looking at this, because it then says, they make it a spring, the rain also covers it with pools. Those tears are something that actually start to nourish you. And then in verse 7 it says this, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. They being the pilgrims, or they being the tears that actually give you the strength to carry on. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says this. And you'll probably know it. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to do that, church. We need to wait on the Lord to renew our strength. Because then they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Richard prayed about that lovely evening we had, Jesse. There was a young man in there who was not going to stop running. And there was no way he was actually going to faint. For those of you who were there will know exactly who I'm talking about. But you see, verse 7. These tears not only strengthen you. Have you ever got so stressed and that you'd cry, but you're going to go on anyway? I mean, when you're in the gym, for example, and you're lifting a weight and it's just too heavy for you, but suddenly the tears of it just come out the corners of your eyes. Maybe not. I don't know. I used to do that. But you see, those tears also appear before God. Those tears that we have of frustration, those tears of anguish, they also appear before God. Why? Because he knows what you're going through currently. He knows. He sees. And he knows. O Lord God of hosts, verse 8 says, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. We're asking God to hear our prayers. There is an assumption on amongst us all that he does. But sometimes you might sort of think, well, he doesn't really. It's not me. He doesn't hear my prayer. Oh, he does. You see, in the Anglican Church, and it's actually in here as well, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. That is a refrain that the Anglicans use in their part of the service when they are saying their prayers. Why? Because it gives the congregation a chance to actually respond to the prayer itself, as if we need to. You've been here many, many weeks. You'll hear the same people praying, but that's also could be from you. Just because you don't verbalise it doesn't mean to say that's not your heart's prayer as well. And sometimes it's worth actually having that opportunity to respond. I mean, I've often used it when I've been doing services in the care home, only because it gives the people a chance to actually respond to those prayers. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Verse 9. Oh God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. And this is the centre, if you like, the nuclear of the actual psalm. Because this is where we're looking at our Messiah. God, behold our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. Who is the anointed one of God? It's Jesus. Who is the reason we come here each week? It's Jesus. What if it wasn't? What if he wasn't here? Would you be? Would you still turn up if you know that Jesus wasn't going to be here? Makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you wonder. But of course we know that he is, because it tells us when two or three are gathered together in the midst, he will be also. Going to start to wrap it up now. I'm coming into land, as some might say. We're looking at now verses 10 to 12. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So my third heading is being in the house of God. So we've got the house of God. We've done the pilgrimage. We've arrived. We are there. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper. A few years ago now, I was the doorkeeper out there. And every Sunday, come rain, shine, snow, I would be the one who would stand out the front welcoming the people in. Do you know what? I love that job. Even in the snow, and I would come in, and it wasn't as warm as it is now in here. In the winter, it used to be bitter. In fact, the polar bears used to come in because it was colder in here than it was outside. If you were fighting penguins for a seat, honestly. But I love that job because, I mean, I learnt this verse very, very early, that I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be just inside the house of God than somewhere else. And that was the reason that I used to do that. Now, of course, today we don't have anybody on the door, but that doesn't matter. Interestingly, when I first started going to church at Chalk Pentecostal Church, that was also my first job. And I would be on the door, but I'd be inside, wouldn't be outside. I'd be on the door, and I would be handing out hymn books. Now, in those days, we had two hymn books. We had the Redemption Hymnal and the Songs and Hymns of Fellowship, which was new. I mean, that was, wow. I mean, by the way, it was version one. So, yeah. But it was new, and it was like, gosh, they've got choruses. Whoa. Exactly. And not only that, they weren't 200 years old. So it was fantastic. And there would be weeks when we would run out of the books. And we had to tell people, I'm sorry, you can have a hymnal, but we've run out of these chorus books. Don't worry, you can share. Do you remember hymn books? Do you remember hiding behind them? So you'd stand up and it'd be there in front of you like that, so no one could see you singing.
No.
I used to sit next to somebody and he would turn my hymn book upside down as I was trying to sing it. And I would turn his upside down as he was trying to sing from his as well. See, there was no hiding behind him. I quite like the fact that we've got technology now where we can all look and we can all worship. Even if you've got your eyes closed, you can still see. That's not right. Even if you can always see it and you know what's going on, even when you close your eyes, you still know that it's there and you don't hide behind your hymn books. And it's great to be here. It really is. But why is it great to be here? Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God is our sun and our shield. He is our warmth and our protector. And I've written down here, giving us grace and glory and withholding nothing good from us. And that's what it says in there. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. Who's he going to withhold it from? Well, it's us. It's you and me. It's the pilgrims who have gone to the house of God to worship God. When we have our prayer meeting at the beginning of the service, we always pray that God will be blessed by what we do in here. Because that's the whole point of us coming. The whole point of us being in church is to bless God. It's not for any other reason. Because if we're not here to do that, then what are we here to do? Our protector, our warmth. And what we've got to remember is that it's conditional. You see, coming to church or just turning up, there's no brownie points to be had. There's no register to be called. You ever thought about that? Oh, well, Rob's here this week. Oh, good, tick. Yep, Stephen's here, tick. There's no register called. You're here because you want to be here. You're here because you walk uprightly in God's eyes. Doesn't matter what man thinks about you. It's what God thinks about you. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what God thinks. You see, we need to always remind ourselves and be aware that God is omnipotent. He knows. He sees it all. He sees me when I'm cross, which doesn't happen as often as it used to. But you see,
there's too much effort being cross. Stop feeding your wife.
Yeah, I've not done that for a while. You see, you're here because you want to be here. You're here to bless and worship God. And you can only be here if you do walk uprightly in his eyes. Because if you don't, then you will be cowering down. And if we can do all of that, he will withhold nothing from us. Which is great. What is it you need? Well, to be honest, I don't need a new Mercedes. Lord, won't you buy me a new Mercedes-Benz? What do I need? I just need God to bless me in ways that I don't understand. And I don't understand them, and I don't understand why he does it, but he does. And it says here, blessed is the man who puts his trust in God. There's no point in putting your trust, and we've seen this throughout the last few weeks, months, years, your politicians. There's no point in putting your trust in your football team, especially if you support Charlton, because they will let you down. Here's a one. There's no point in you putting your trust in your partner. That's really bold, isn't it? That's a really bold statement. When Mike first became pastor, he said, I will let you down. Didn't you?
I did.
And that's because we're human. Yeah? You haven't married a partner who is not human, who is brilliant and actually wonderful, apart from me, of course. But even we have our challenges. There's not any small challenges. But you can't put your trust in man, because man lets you down. You've got to put your trust in God. And God alone is where your trust should be. A few years ago, my older brother lost his wife. She passed away. Now, he had what people would say was a happy and a successful marriage. In the eyes of the world, he had it all. But she got sick and she passed away. It's really hard for him. Indeed, it's really hard for any of us if we put our trust in something that will not be there eventually. We can look at our partners, we can look at our families, but at some point they will not be there. But the thing is, you see, God always will be there. God has said that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. You can put your trust in God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we know it's difficult when you say, put your trust in me. But Lord, we will try. We will try to put our trust in you. We will try, Lord, to do our best for you. Lord, we know that you accept that we will make mistakes because we're not perfect. But Lord, we do try to be perfect. Lord, forgive us our iniquities as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but Lord, deliver us from evil. For thine, Lord, is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom, Lord, not ours. When we talk about the kingdom of God, it's your kingdom. And yours is the glory. Lord, it's not our glory. There's no glory for any of us in your eyes. There's no glory to standing up here. There's no glory to playing up here. There's no glory in what we do during the week. But if we give you the glory, then it becomes a reflection. Because it's reflected glory, and that's all we need. We need to be loved. Every single one of us needs to be loved. But most importantly, we need to be loved by you. And we know that you do love us. Your Bible tells us that you love us and that you continue to love us. And you love us even when we do wrong.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you are prepared to actually suffer for us, that we don't understand it, that we can't take it in. But Lord, thank you that you do it anyway, or you've done it anyway, or you're going to do it anyway. And we can keep looking back, and we can look back at the cross and say, he's hung there for me.
Yeah.
Those sins are my sins that he's got. Those wounds are my wounds. So thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for every single person here this morning, that you will continue to cover them with your love, to bless them, to work in their lives, to bring them closer to you, to bring them closer to your throne, that we may once again be here next Sunday morning worshipping you and giving you the praise and the glory that you thoroughly, thoroughly deserve.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name I ask all of this. Amen.
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 Thank you, Rob. As we were praying, I was struck with an image. I'm a teacher.